Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Von Strawn. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello!
You all right, babe?
Charlottesville! I really tried to get that out.
Cleared up.
Hey, Charlottesville. How you doing?
we got like three really tired
people.
Hey,
girl.
Ooh, don't you look good today.
This is Homegrown, your show about local art here every Sunday. It is Sunday, October 7th. You're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am out of voice. No, we just got done with the opening.
Yes. Yes.
There's been a lot of partying. I didn't know how much live arts freaking parties.
You didn't?
I didn't. Like, oh, y'all get in. Like,
I didn't,
it's like,
I didn't tell you. I'm
it's
sorry.
Like, okay, so we gonna party on Thursday night. And we gonna party on Friday night. And then we not gonna have a party, but a lot of us are gonna go out and party on Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're gonna make
and it's also that musical theater thing, like the musical theater party thing. I mean, that's it's every night. It's just a musical theater thing. I don't know what it is. Like a regular show, you could get away with, like, you know, the second week, that Friday, everybody's like, yeah, man, I'm tired.
Yeah.
No, musical theater is like, no, it's Friday night. What are you talking about? Yeah. We just sang our asses off for 2 hours. Let's go.
We just
We're
did
drinking.
Cardio for 2.5 hours, essentially.
Right?
I cannot sleep. I need barbiturates. Where can I go and somebody to talk to about my emotional pain?
No, it's definitely a thing.
With me always is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Aw, you're singing to me this morning. Thank you.
Ian M. Scott Jones.
So you and I are both tired for the same reason. Because we were both singing for 2 hours last night.
Yeah, you were at the Nathaniel Starr show, which is what I would have been doing if I didn't have to do an incredibly emotionally draining musical production.
Right.
But I'm sure it was fire.
Oh,
sure,
my
it
God.
Amazing.
It was so much
Talk
fun.
About it.
It was so much fun.
So
like, we had... we had a special, like, surprise guest. Mm-hmm. Professor A.D. Carson came up.
Oh!
And spit a few verses during
now
a couple
mad.
Of songs. It
now
was, yeah, it was amazing. Like, there's even there's a song that that Nathaniel does that has a rap section in it, but AD spit before that song came up in the set list, and he was like, yeah, there was a rap part in that song. I couldn't like.
So it was like,
I was just completely outshone. I'm done. Like.
It was amazing, like Charlottesville, like local collab throughout the whole section.
Is that really the phrase in hip hop? Is it spit a few?
Yes.
That's disgusting. Like no one says.
And then
you know, we were sitting there and Luciano Pavarotti came up and he just yacked a whole aria right over the audience. I mean, it was the full heave, baby, I tell you.
Hey.
Clinton Johnson, official old head of Homegrown.
Right? No.
I mean, I know I am, but I'm still trying to fake the funk a little.
Well, the thing is, he didn't actually, like, spit on the mic. He was using my mic, so he didn't spit on it or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, if he had, I would have been completely fangirled out. Like,
even
I would have been like, spit on my mic. Yeah.
Can I keep the guard?
I just want the guard.
I just want the sound, the wind guard.
No,
that's
like,
all I want.
Yeah. You know,
no, but
he is.
There's always some contraction going on between mics. If you're a stand-up comedian, you're sick all the time.
But it's like,
it's true though.
He's one of those people where, you know, he's insanely intelligent. And then when you see him perform, it's like
Seville Podcast. Look up the
effortless.
Show that we got on Nathaniel
like,
Starr.
He's so amazing and humble. Like
and beautifully
everybody's
humble.
Everybody's like,
and
oh my god, you're amazing. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are.
No, you
Stop.
Really are, dude. And I didn't know this. I read in the Seville about the article. We didn't cover it, but he hadn't been. This has been a year.
It's been
a decade, rather.
It's been
that
a
he's
decade.
Been like out of the. Out yeah. of the game, and then he just came back.
He's still been
like,
making
boom.
Music and performing in other places, but he hadn't performed in Seville in 10 years. Mm. And it was really great to have it at the front porch where it was, you know, intimate and everybody, like audience members, I could literally reach out and touch them. Like, oh. And
yeah,
it was.
It is a really small space, and I'm sure you.
But it was great. It was
but
really
to
great.
Get that was extra in the tickets.
For me to touch them?
Oh.
Well, it depends on where I would be touching them now, doesn't it?
That's an extra $20, I believe.
20? Hey.
At least 20.
Don't make me cheat. Hey.
I now want to see the front porch lap dance. What would... The front porch
well,
contra lap dance.
That you know,
is it a square dance if it's at the front
exactly.
porch?
If you had
never
been
seen a lap
at the
square
show,
dance.
You would have seen it. But you couldn't do it. Fine.
A lap square dance is where they swing another type of partner.
Oh.
We do have a guest today.
She's now trying to hide under the table,
She's
but yes.
loving it.
Enjoying myself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sam Gray's in the house.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I can see you. How are you? I'm learning how to like do the,
yeah,
do the camera
you
flip.
Pull it. Yeah, you
so
can pull
now,
it.
So now it looks...
Rotated.
Yeah. There we go.
Did we do
there.
The mic talk?
Okay.
Mic talk. Talk across it. Yeah.
Yeah, across.
No. Talk across. You've been here.
I've
you
been
know.
Here.
She
acting
knows
like
the,
you don't know.
She knows
oh, my
the
God.
Deal.
I've never done this before.
How do I...
Sam Gray is a wonderful, talented artist here in the Charlottesville community. If you haven't seen her work, then you haven't seen a bus. That has
right.
Gone across various avenues of your local community. So
she, I rode that bus just the other day.
Oh.
Just the I got on. It's like I'm on Sam's bus.
Awesome.
Yeah. You're awesome, and you do dope stuff. So. Yeah. It just says artist. Like, usually it says, like, you're promoting something and you're doing something.
Well, that's below it, dear.
Oh, that's what that is? Oh, I thought that was for the other joint.
No. Read
we're
down.
Just here to chit-chat.
The joint art exhibit?
There we go.
That's you. I thought that was you, but I didn't want to assume. Joint art exhibit by FUCC, the Feminist Union. I just came through the door, y'all. I just came through the door. The Feminist Union of Charlottesville Creatives and the best... acronym on the face of the earth.
Yes. One we had to discuss before getting on the air.
Keep it, fight it, do what you got to do. Doing their thing at City Space, currently running now through October 28th. Sam Gray,
yeah.
I am so blessed to have you in the studio.
Oh, blessed to be here chatting with you all.
What's up? And,
you know, just super glad that the exhibit went up and First Friday happened and I can kind of take a breath for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Before actually getting back into being crazy for other projects. But I'm super pleased with how the show came together.
So let's start. Let's just jump in. What is the Feminist Union of Seville Creatives? What? How long? Whose idea?
Yeah.
Give us the lowdown.
So my friend Lily Erb and I started this
group. Oh, I know Lily.
Yeah. She's a local
by proxy.
Artist. Yeah, sculptor. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's just headed out to Colorado for an art residency and might be moving, which is sad, but, you know.
Hey, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
that's an amazing opportunity.
Gotta
though.
Get
that's...
out. And, you know, so she's doing that. But we both were frustrated with the Charlottesville art scene being like a boys' scene and just not, you know.
Is it? Talk about that. Talk about that.
Is there like... I mean, because I know in like music scenes, you can't see like what goes on in the underground. So yeah. Like talk about that dissonance.
I mean, I think pretty much every niche almost in this world is touched by the patriarchy, by white supremacy, by all of this. So
amen,
there's not going to be a scene. You're not going to feel that. But like I had a specific experience at a artist talk at a place. At a wonderful gallery locally, and it's not the venue's issue, so I'll leave it out of it. But after the artist talk during the reception, it was like a middle school dance. Like, boys on one side, girls on the other.
Really?
And all this little gaggle of men were around the speaker, the artist, who was a guy. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, I want to hear what they're talking about. So I left my gal friends and talked with them. But it was so weird. It was like hierarchy and blah, blah, blah. And when I went back and talked with these wonderful female artists that I respect and look up to, they're like, oh, you went and talked with the guys. You went and talked with the man. And I was like, what is this, 2017? Like, this shouldn't
Word.
Be the case anymore.
Yeah.
And just also, like, you know, being around certain male artists who are always drawing naked women and being super creepy about it. And I'm,
yeah.
like, really questioning their motivation. And just those things piled up. And I was getting so much energy out of talking to other female artists and queer artists. And I was,
yeah.
like, I want to create a safe space for us.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lily was down, so we went and did it together. Yeah.
So yeah, all these men artists, male artists, drawing naked women, being really creepy. We've spoken to artists before, and they said, oh, well, you know, the nude, mm-hmm. and the, it's sort of, it we've carved out this rarefied artistic traditional space where the nude is not purient, the nude is not sexual, the nude is pure. Is that, yeah. is that all BS?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I
that
think
was easy to answer.
It's, you can never just say, like, we've dealt with this and it's okay. Like, no matter what the situation, like, there's gonna be so many different contexts. And, you know, after talking to a male artist about their work, I might feel better about how, you know, maybe they're expressing a feminine side of themselves through their work, or there's
right.
some other inspiration, but a lot of it, they're like, oh, I'm talking about, you know, how women shouldn't be exploited. And it's like, well, why don't you not
exploit
women to talk about this?
Yes.
That'd be great. Yeah.
yeah.
So I think
well,
it's always a conversation.
And you don't see a lot of the male artists paying male nude models.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if they really wanted to, like, turn that around, why not just do male nudes?
Yeah. And I think it's,
you know,
Leslie,
like,
you've modeled nudes. Well, you've modeled nude. What was it?
I have.
And you've done nudes.
I've modeled nude and I've drawn nudes, and I've had, like, specific issues with figure groups that I've been in, and when I've had to, like, say, you know, don't talk about the model's body. Like, you might
right.
think that you're making a compliment.
But no,
but
it doesn't,
like,
feel that way when you're completely dressed and they're completely nude.
Yeah, there's definitely
that's,
a power
that's, yeah,
dynamic.
There's a power dynamic that happens there that's yeah. not, yeah, that's yeah. not cool.
Yeah.
And isn't that kind of the part of the patriarchy, is like the mental aspect of it, to make you feel like that is something that you have to do in order to
yes.
be an artist? It's like, oh, well, if you want to be an artist, then you have to draw nudes and you have to respect people who draw nudes, and then you have to, like, experience the nude aspect of it. So you have to be a nude model, like all of this stuff to make
yeah.
you feel like that you have to implement that as part of your artistic portfolio.
No, I actually had
yeah.
an acting teacher, because the first time I posed nude was in college, and I it was, like, sanctioned by my acting teacher. He was like, no, this is what you need to do. Like, you need to learn how to be more vulnerable in front of people, and this is how you do it. And I was like, this is how I do it?
Word.
Like, this is the only way? This is it.
Yeah, as opposed to, like, emotional vulnerability.
Right. And so I was lucky in that I had a lot of artistic friends at school, and so the person who was drawing me was also a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, it kind of eased up on the anxiety of doing it, but still, that, I mean, no matter what genre of the arts you're in, like, mm-hmm. when you're a woman in the arts, it's the conversations that you get and the things that you're told that you have to do in order to be accepted or successful or whatever
yeah.
are just,
it seems like a frequent and consistent level of discomfort, like, at
yes.
all times,
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that's some of the things that FUCC is trying to combat and, like, quell. So let's talk about what you're going to see at this joint art exhibit. What are some of the works that kind of, like, combat that type of, like, patriarchy and that type of belief? And if even if it doesn't, even if it's just not so deliberate, like, what's going on?
Yeah, so we didn't you know, curate or have a particular theme, since this is our first show.
Right.
And I'm also, like, in the middle of dealing with another solo show. So I was like, how can we make this work out? And I was just thinking, inviting these artists to share along in any way that they want would bring out some really interesting stories. And we do have a really great show. And yeah, one of the pieces is interactive. Mm-hmm. And it's so appropriate for right now. My friend Loralee Gulledge, who's a great, yes, she does so many awesome things.
Clinton raises his fist in the air in appreciation.
Graphic novelist, McGuffey artist. And I like to call her an art shaman because she's one of those artists who like addresses the spiritual, the mental health, the whole package. Right. So check her out. She set up this panel, which is about airing our dirty laundry, and there's stencils of undergarments for people to draw or write a confession or something that needs to come out, sort of like Post Secret, but in the vein of like feminism and women's experiences. And it, you know, that wall was full by the end of Friday night because everyone obviously is going in there with so much baggage. Like, when we were even just like setting up. And, you know, we're all going to be even more friggin' angry, like, after yesterday. We were, like, setting up, and Dan is the wonderful man, Dan Haneke, who helped us, like, coordinate everything at City Space, and I was just like, I hope he's cool with this, because, like, it was a bunch of ladies setting up and, like, uncorking bottles. Huh?
Are him and Walt related?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But he's so chill, and we were like, God damn it. Oh, am I allowed to say damn it?
Okay. You just did, so.
Okay, I won't say it again.
It is what it is.
We were saying expressive things about men and Kavanaugh, and Dan is like super cool and just
right on.
Just like he can chill.
Well, we gotta pause because we gotta pay a bill or two, and we gotta take it to a commercial. But we'll be back with Sam Gray. We got Sam Gray all day because that's just how how the cards
roll. Because that's how we roll.
The other person bailed, so it's like we got an hour, Sam Gray. That's what it is. Loving it. Feeling it. You ready for a drop, Clinton?
Yep.
All right, we're going to do a drop. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Dear ones, this is Carmel Clavin of Spectacle and Mirth. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
22 minutes past the hour. 20 minutes past the hour.
Yes!
Sunday! You're listening to Homegrown here.
Oh, my God.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. We're here with Sam Gray, amazing local artist, doing a joint art exhibit with the FUCC, the Feminist Union of Charlottesville Creatives at City Space, now through October 28th. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. We were talking about Loralee Gulledge.
Gulledge.
Who else is coming to this joint?
Oh, we got all sorts of folks. We got Eileen French and Lindsay Diamond, who are McGuffey artists. I'm gonna like not be able to remember everyone. This is horrible. But there are 18 participating artists, including some performers that we had share their work on opening night, and that was amazing.
Nice.
And, you know, funny for me, because I'm not a performer and I'm trying to help facilitate a performance and, like, you know, deal with people's needs, but everyone was so cool, and there were tears and laughs, and it was, really awesome. Yeah. But it's a good mix of ladies from the area sharing all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, painting, printing, drawing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is the FUCC, multidisciplinary group?
Are there different stuff there?
Yeah, we got different stuff. We got all kinds of stuff. Oh, and there's poetry and stuff. But yeah, we are mostly active on Facebook. We're a Facebook group. Private, safe space.
Yes.
But, and it's, you know, mostly visual artists, I would say, just due to me and Lily being visual artists.
Right.
Coming from our social networks, but
Facebook is essentially a visual.
group. Yeah. You know, you can glance through and kind of like scroll and like see everything.
Right. But there are like musicians, performers, writers who are getting involved just from, you know, people usually have more than one genre or media that they work in. Like, right. I also do music, though not as much recently.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's a good way to connect people.
So, is the FUCC something that formed organically, or is it just, or was it something that, like, people, like, specifically intended to, like, meet up and do? Like, I imagine it's something that, you know, and maybe I'm just assuming, but I don't know if y'all have production meetings or anything like that, if it's anything that's structured or anything of that nature. Is it something, is it just more like a collective,
very
like a
loosely,
of just individuals or more like an organization?
Oh, I mean, we, especially in the beginning, we were meeting up at different gallery spaces. Like our first meeting was at Second Street Gallery because another aspect of it was getting artists in contact with directors and people who are the gatekeepers of the art community.
That's important.
Who they might not feel empowered to go up and say hi if they're just going to an event, but if we gather there for a purpose and the director is sharing about their organization, and that is a conversation opener.
Yeah.
Haven't been doing those as much recently. I mean, yeah, it's basically just run by the two of us. Now it's me and mostly Sri Kodakala, who couldn't be here because she needs a break.
I feel that.
Oh, we all need a break. But yeah, we're a Facebook group, and trying to get a banquet license was funny because I had to go to frickin' police station, and they're like, "You're not a nonprofit. Who are you? What are you?" I was like, "Please, just let us have alcohol."
Yeah.
Oh, the man will try to find a way to hold you down.
Yeah.
Believe that.
We need it.
Next time, just let me know. I have a couple of friends who are caterers. They have banquet licenses, and as long you can use their license for a one-time event. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got the
hookup. Yeah. Talk to me. Talk to me, girl. I got you.
Definitely.
So this is the first show. Mm-hmm. Do you have plans for another one? And what is that? Is that one going to now have a theme or some sort of?
We have a show. We have a show in June 2019, the top floor of Second Street Gallery.
Oh.
Not Second Street. I'm sorry. My brain is dead. It's McGuffey Art Center. The place that I go every day. I talk about it all the time, so that's really funny. But I have not thought about a theme yet because I'm like 8 weeks away from my next solo show, and clearly my brain is half mush.
Yes,
at all times right now.
I was feeling that way too, and I actually have a question that I just remembered. So it's twice that you that you've mentioned some aspect of a trepidation to network, at least to for artists to put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. I noticed that I would say that art can be and can lead to having more introvert like aspects of your personality. Mm-hmm. So therefore, most artists aren't necessarily there to talk about their art; they're just there to present it. Yeah. And like just put it out there. So talk about the difficulties of artists actually having to like put themselves out there and like network and like communicate with other artists and like collaborate. Do you find that to be like a frequent rift in the community, an issue?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's definitely something very important to getting connected, to getting a sustainable career, access to opportunities. I say this as someone who like decided to be an artist 2 years ago, even though I should have been all along. So I haven't been doing this very long. I'm not speaking from, you know.
But you've been doing it well. Jimi Hendrix only had 3 years worth of albums. But
are you serious?
Yeah.
I did not.
3 year career.
Friggin' know
he's one
that.
Of the most like well respected artists of all time.
Yeah, but
so
I think
take that with you.
But to back to like networking and speaking, I think it's very difficult. Generally, but it's something that makes a huge difference, and I see it as something that pulls artists forward who are able to speak more about their work, who are less shy, or just push themselves to get over it. Like, I am so sweaty all the time when I'm talking with people, but they think I'm not nervous, and I'm just like, well, that is incredible, but like, you gotta fake it till you make it. And And being in the community, getting emails and knowing about opportunities through McGuffey, that was great for me. And I'm just, one of the things I love about the FUCC is forwarding all of the opportunities on to other creators in our community. I'm like, here, this came in my inbox because I'm at McGuffey, and now you get to know about it too, because why shouldn't you?
Yeah. And I think that's what artists need to do for each other. Like, we are only as powerful as the people we know.
Yeah.
You know, because when we're creating something, we need a place to show it. And not all of us are fortunate enough to have those connections right off the bat or even know how to make those connections.
Yeah.
So we have to rely on other artists that we know to be like, hey, I know this person. They're great. Come and meet them. You know?
Yeah. Calling people in, especially if, you know, someone approaches me with a project that isn't up my alley, I'm so happy to let them know, like, hey, I'm not really a teacher, but there's so many great teachers you can talk to.
Right.
And just, like, spreading that. And I feel like there's so much scarcity mentality in general in our society, but if you're trying to be self-employed and hustle, it can feel like you shouldn't share opportunity. And sometimes I feel stupid for spending so much time on group things, but I, like, on Friday, I spent most of that opening, like, answering questions, running around, and yelling, and I had a great time, because people were enjoying themselves, and were grateful, and it was so important to the group, so that's really nourishing.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is that kind of stuff will come back to you, you know, when you share things, and, you know, when you share opportunities with your community, with your tribe, then, you know, if they're really your tribe, they'll do the same back to you. Like, it all circles around.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Connections.
All right.
100% with all of that, by the way.
100%. 100%. 100.
Oh, yeah.
100.
You keep it 100. Blue 100%. I got to do artistic events. I'm gonna pause this wonderful conversation. We're gonna come back and we are gonna talk about some of the artistic events happening this week.
Give him that.
Charlottesville. Clinton is racing with the script, twisting things around.
Twisting, right, and
are we good?
Changing,
are we music. And are we grooving? We moving? We grooving?
All right.
Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through January 27th, Reflections, Native Arts Across Generations, an exhibition of the work several contemporary Native American artists at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. And now, through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center. It's summer fall season. Just four plays. Emma Woodday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma. George Etheridge's The Man of Mood. Also, Fumbling Flutter. Richard III.
Yes, the Fumbling Flutter.
Does you like it? Shakespeare. Currently running through October 27th, Ragtime at Live Arts. There's a short black guy in the show. He's pretty amazing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
everybody in the show is pretty amazing.
I heard about him, but I think there was something wrong with his feet.
Yeah, there's always something wrong with his feet. I don't know why they casted him personally. Also the thing, FGCC, October 28th, you should check that out too. But also, art exhibits by local artists that are currently running right here in your community, here in the Charlottesville area. Let's talk about it. Okay, David. Jane Skaft.
Skafty.
Skafty, thank you. See, you're going to help me with all of these, Sam Gray, because you know all these people. You're like, no, David.
Thank God there's someone else here to correct David, so I don't have to do it.
I know.
And he doesn't have to be mad at me.
Jane Skafty presents her drawings about the effects of climate change at New Dominion Bookshop. Michael Doyle presents Michael Doyle, Drawings from Jail, and New City Arts Welcome Gallery. June Calmer and Aiden Mills. Mm-hmm. presents
you had a question about Aiden Mills? Aiden. Come on.
It's got a Y in there, so I was like, Aiden.
Is it Aideen?
Yeah, see? I don't know.
Dang.
Embodying a new narrative. a visual discussion. Aiden or Aideen, I'm so sorry. We're going to get it right. Works by Aaron Farrington, Will Kerner, and Rochelle Summer at the McGuffey Art Center. Woo! Yay! And, of course, the joint exhibit by the FCCC at City Space. So, Charles has got it on lock. There's so many great artists out there and about there. So check them out. Give them some love on their Facebook page. Let them know you care, because that's what keeps them going. Last chance! And an evening of one-act plays by David Ives at Mary Baldwin University, Fletcher Collins Theater, and Deming Hall at 2 p.m. Why is this the first time I'm hearing about the last chance of evening of one-act plays by David Ives?
Because you weren't here last week.
Yep.
That's fair. Today, Seville Sabroso Latin Music and Culture Festival at the Ix Art Park, starting at noon. Also today, Junie B. Jones, the musical Junior, the kids' version of the musical based on the series of books by Barbara Park at the Belmont's Art Collective. Tomorrow, Theater of the Oppressed Workshop at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Also tomorrow, UVA Associate Professor of History and African American Studies, Andrew Carl. That is a long card. I bet you his card is like huge.
Right?
Or at least in very
fine print.
That's
a lot. It's a lot.
Leads a Signs of Change workshop with a talk on racial justice and inequality at the Rotunda Multipurpose Room. Yeah. Talk about irony.
Yeah. can we talk about that?
Right now?
I got some multipurpose. Never mind.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right.
Keep going.
October 10th. Learn how to get started podcasting with only an iPad at the Crozet branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And October 11th, ooh, a lot of stuff going down October 11th. Drag show at the Tin Whistled Irish Pub. The UVA MFA reading series continues with readings by Michelle Gottschlick and Belinda Tang at New Dominion Bookshop. Bookshop. It's a bookstore or bookshop?
There's books in it.
All right.
Keep moving.
October 11th through October 28th, The Lion in Winter. At Four County Players.
Yeah, who's the director of that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Might be somebody we know, though.
You know.
It's probably somebody we know.
Newcomer. October 12th, Creative Mornings continue with multimedia artists like...
Like?
Galara?
Galara Haktalam.
Galara. I know it was Galara.
I love her.
Yeah.
Haktalam? Haktalam?
Haktalam? I think. I don't know.
Haktalam?
Haktalam.
At Live Arts. We're going to get this right. I just walked through the door. I apologize to y'all. I'm usually better at this. October 13th, learn how to control the pace at which things happen in your writing. Oh, I was going to say, I was like, at life? I don't know.
Somebody
in your
can
writing,
teach me that?
Only in your writing.
Oh, okay.
Only in your writing.
All right.
At the You Can Control Time seminar hosted by former guest Amanda Corman at the Rider House. Yeah, you need a lot of disclaimers on that flyer.
Right?
You told me.
You told me.
I could come in here and learn how to control time.
I would learn to control time.
No, in your writing. I want to bend the space-time continuum with my mind. You promised me.
Now you want me to write?
You know. This is BS. October 13th. UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Hines guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration. Fralin Art pieces.
You know, I think maybe we should go to that, David. I think we both need some meditation.
Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. Also, on October 13th, Christy Wood heads the second Hot Wax Painting Workshop at 2nd Street Art Gallery in Encaustic 102. Also, October 13th, in a benefit for caring for creatures, ACAC instructors teach Zumba, La Blast, and other dance fitness routines at the Dance-a-thon at the Ix Art Park. Get your dance on, shake your booty. October 13th and 14th, the Virginia Street Arts Festival will bring street artists to Waynesboro and transform a vacant brick building.
Into
Virginia Streets Arts Festival.
Right. Okay. Sure.
Now we did that all the time at what used to be the Ix Art Park. It was an abandoned building, and we just got drunk and like,
yeah,
spray painted stuff.
Well,
but then cops came and they called it vandalism. Now the Ix Park calls it beauty. All right, whatever. And for your music options this week,
Today. Hey, Bobby Midnight Band at Stinson Vineyards from 1 to 4. Cat Summers at Star Hill Brewery Tap Room. Tomorrow, ATM Unit at Rapture. October 9th, Ragged Mountain String Band at Whiskey Jar. Bill Sanderson at Darling Nellie's. And the Nunnery, Yesarov, and Palace play the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. On the 10th, Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby at the Whiskey Jar and the Currys at Rapture. The 11th, we have the Christ Episcopal Church's October series of noontime half-hour organ and carolyn concerts with the University Baptist Church organist Barbara Taylor Moore playing early American hymns and tunes, works by Schumann. On the 11th, Coda and Maria Dirty Nellies and the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. On the 12th, Peyton Tochterman and Greg Howard. Oh my God, that's so much like music greatness there at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also on the 12th, Chamomile and Whiskey with Agents of Good Roots and Sarah White at the Jefferson Theater. The Haven becomes the Apollo Theater at Showtime at the Haven, where five local acts compete for a spot in January's final show. Matthew Hall plays works by Louis Couperin, Francois Couperin, Louis Marchand, and Nicolas de Grenier. Ooh, that sounds very bougie. Yeah. That sounds so bougie. I might want to go. Also on the 12th, DJ Frank Rivera at Rapture. On the 13th, Lua Project at Albemarle Cider Works. Mama Tried and Sherry Red at the Ix Art Park. Hey, Mama Tried. Y'all need to come back on the show. I'm just saying. Miss y'all. Anlar at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. DJ... Yeah, what?
DJ Joe Lice? Joe Lice?
I don't know, dude. Spins!
Joe Lice problem is solved with this shampoo.
Spins at the 6th annual All Black Affair at the Hicks Art Park. Oh my goodness. Every Sunday, Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at Front Porch Roots Music School. Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar, the 18 Unit Rapture Songwriter Night at the Local. That's on Mondays. Every Tuesday, the traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Babadero, baby. And every Wednesday. All right, here's the list. Ready?
Oh, shit.
It's a long list. Open mic night at Pro Rain on a Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Felitti's number 9.
Boom!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. Bachata Fusion at the Ix Art Park. Yeah! 502 Fossils at the Shabine. And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Tucker Quartet at Miller's.
Yeah!
Oh my God.
Wacky Wednesday.
Every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. Every Thursday.
John Durth
at Miller's. All right.
And
here we go.
Those are the weekly announcements.
We'll be right back. This is Homegrown.
Drop!
This is local writer Amanda Corman. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
40 minutes past the hour. I heard y'all.
We just yell numbers at David,
yeah.
and he knows what to do.
What? I thought this was a dream. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPBC. I was about to say, I'm Leslie. That's David.
It's a dream. And you were there, and you were there, and you wanted me to pose nude, and it was a little creepy. But my acting teacher said that it was a way that I could approach vulnerability.
We're also very, very tired. Clinton's directing a show. Leslie's been singing in one. I've been in one. Sam's been doing like 14 shows at once.
Like, we're all so very tired.
We're all like delirious.
And so very giddy.
And loving it.
Yeah.
Speaking of this, what is this next solo show you're doing?
Right?
What? Oh, huh? Yeah.
Segue.
Talk about that.
All right. And also, I have another announcement.
Uh-oh.
along with your extensive list of shows.
Exclusive!
I have to shout out to my girl Maddie Rondeau, who has a show in the Dove Gallery at 2nd Street.
Ooh!
Yes, so you should check it out.
Awesome! Any theme or just her excuse?
It's just creepy, cute, weird stuff. I bet if you see her art and you see her face, you won't think it's the person who made the art.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of those
so
folks?
So great. Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
We got him on the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Okay, and now, self-promoting. All right, yeah.
Don't get sweaty.
Switching hats.
My show is going to be in December at Studio X, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Place.
Seems to be the place to be.
Yeah, I haven't tried the cannoli at the place. Did you hear about the cannoli?
I have not heard about the cannoli, but I have
you
now.
You haven't?
Cicely Rose.
Oh.
I'm just really excited.
Oh, my God.
Pastries.
Yeah.
Is it really like that?
Oh. Oh.
Is it the same notoriety as the Brazo Taco in the same
Ooh.
Area? Would their cannoli equate to the Brazo Taco?
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah. I actually think it does.
You had one?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a do not miss, that's for sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. All right. And I don't like sweets. Like, that's not my normal thing.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't like...
I've gotten
like,
to an age where stuff can be too sweet. And it's very unappetizing.
Right. But the...
That's just right.
Yeah.
That's just right.
It's like the perfect mix. Because you know what a cannoli is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like that, like the filling is not like, it's not, I don't know if how they make it, but it's like, it's not sugar based to make
it's
the
cheese.
Filling. It's, and it's so much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's like creme fraiche or mascarpone or something.
I don't know, but it's, God, it's, yeah. Yeah.
I love that we're giving them like a free ad right
no,
now.
No, we just gave like a 5-minute free ad to like Cicely Rose.
Sorry, hey, you know, you get three black people in the room. We're gonna talk about food at some point.
Yeah, know, like, at some point.
At some point, food is gonna come up.
Yeah.
But anyway,
all right.
So, but your solo show,
upcoming show, which is called Dear Lilith, which.
Ooh.
You know, they do press releases in advance, so they asked me in, like, April what the show theme was going to be, and I was still in the thick of doing my July show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, well, there's no way I know what it is. But I was working on a piece that is centered around Lilith and just came up with the words, Dear Lilith, and they still rang true when it came time to start doing this show.
Nice.
And, yeah, now I'm really... It's been interesting because... I don't know if y'all know the archetype of Lilith.
Right. I do.
Well, is this new work besides the diptychs?
This is new work, yeah. I'm going to put the two, the diptychs in that are...
Because I remember those specifically.
Like, and they're like the bridge thematically and artistically between my first show and this show.
Okay.
Right.
This is gonna
be new tracks
new
by Sam Gray.
And yeah, I was just like,
On this new exhibit, not the old. I mean, we gonna bring back the singles, you know.
Yeah.
We gonna drop the number ones, but she gonna bring the new stuff out too.
And what's the date again?
The date? It's the first Friday in December. I actually don't know the... the day yet, but
cool.
You know.
But, yeah, but I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
Lilith, talk.
Oh, talk about Lilith. Yeah.
Yes.
So
talk
for
Lilith.
For those who don't know, Lilith was the first wife of Adam. Adam and Eve. Adam, not just a random Adam out of nowhere. And she was created from the earth, equal to Adam, though you know. They like to add in, like, filthy, dirty, dirty earth. Ladies came from disgustingness. I'm like, all right, you just decided to drop in some adjectives there later. I mean, but she was vilified, basically. I think of her as, like, the first feminist. She would not be subservient to Adam because she was created equally. And then she escaped from Eden and became a demon.
Her greatness diminished and diluted.
Oh, no. She was just, you know, slanderized. I think she's fantastic. She was a goddess before she was written about in the Abrahamic religion. There's Bernese Relief. I've just been reading about it. It's been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wish I didn't just have 4 months to put together the show. And I'll probably keep reading and doing work on it because it's just very appropriate.
Right.
So the first Friday is December 7th.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Magical 7.
Yeah.
A day that will live in infamy.
Yeah. It's been great and also harrowing, exploring themes about violence against women and the demonification of women at this particular point in time.
Yeah.
So much rage channeled in.
So much rage.
Speaking of rage, we're gonna do a drop. We're gonna internalize that rage, and then we're gonna blow it all back up because I want to talk about that too. Let the rage subside for now, but we're gonna talk about it when we come back. We gotta do a commercial. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is Leah Calvani. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
48 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Yes, that's right.
Yes, that is right.
Sam Gray's here. We're all tired. We're all exhausted.
I mean, I know I know you've always wanted to be me, David, but you know, you don't have to take it that far. It's okay.
I just want your energy and your drive and your connections. But
well, I'll say what I have always said. I'm easy. I'm not cheap.
Facts. And I need to just live like that, too. I need that, too. That needs to be on the card as well.
Right?
Leslie, I'm Scott Jones. I'm sweet, but I'm not cheap. Let's talk about the rage that builds when you do more history on how, quote-unquote, minorities... which is so not true because women are the majority of the earth and
everything.
Brown people are the majority of the earth.
Right. Yeah.
But yet we're seen as minorities. Talk about like when you dig through the history of feminism and the fight for equal justice and inequality, and you see the obstruction and the barrages and the creations of impetus and barricades to keep women and people of color from getting their due. And it can be really hard.
Frustrating?
Yeah, definitely.
Maddeningly so?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. And yeah.
But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the most frustrating thing to me is when you have someone who professes to be an ally but then does things that try to silence you.
Mm.
Like that, to me, that's the most insidious part of it. You know, it's like, it's the proverbial, white person saying, but I have black friends, so I can't be a racist.
playing devil's advocate, Hitler's lawyer. Is it conscious? Do you think it's like an intentional, like, I just think it's a
Most of the time I think it is subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you point it out to them, they have a justification instead of just listening, instead of just acknowledging, I didn't mean to do that. Mm-hmm. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
And fixing it. They automatically defend it. Well, and of course the most the thing you hear most of the time is, oh, but this is how things have always been done. Right?
That means nothing.
That kind of stabilizes and your foundation for why you should be upset.
Yeah,
because it's just built on a foundation of white supremacy and patriarchy and everything.
Right.
Should we just be in the Middle Ages forever? Just because, we could.
That's how it's always been done.
Crystallized our society at any point in time.
Yeah, I had someone say that to me a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, okay. So pull out your cell phone. And they were like, what? And I was like, pull out your cell phone. And they're like, why? I said, well, if you're all about doing things the way they've always been done, then you need to go rotary, my brother. You need to hand that right on over.
It's such cherry picking.
It's going to be a long-ass extension cord for the house.
I'm like, come on, let's really talk about what that means.
I feel like, a lot of the defenses that I'm hearing is sloganeering or just that, needing to come up with an excuse or defense for making a mistake. But like when we're called out, the only correct thing is to listen.
Right.
Like, And yeah, it's just very telling. And I think societally we're taught not to make mistakes, mm-hmm. and that it's, you know, not okay to admit to that. But that's the right. only way we're making progress.
Yeah, right. That's the only way you learn.
Is embracing uncomfortable feelings. Like, no one's expecting you to be perfect. Just listen and try to do better.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
listen.
Yeah.
Try to do better. Go to Sam Gray's exhibit.
I think I'm going to make an entire... I think I'm going to make T-shirts that say, I listen to black women.
Mm.
And just... You know, just hand them out.
Or just listen to black women.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
no. I wanted to make it about the person wearing the shirt. Like, I'll give them some culpability. You know, when they wear it. Yeah. Like,
if you wear it, then if you, know, you wear you have it, to show up.
Then that means you have to be responsible.
Has anybody seen like the posters of the kangaroo that's been going around? The close your mouth kangaroo.
No,
it's like Alex the kid. It's like I'll post it up on the front of the show. Later, but it just basically he's wearing a shirt that says when in doubt, like, close your mouth.
Wow.
Know,
listen,
like, there's a nice, like, for, you know, mnemonic, like, device in the poem. It was like, when in doubt, close your mouth is, like, at the end of it. It's saying, like, listen instead of trying to defend yourself.
Right.
But
right.
I just thought that was clever to, like, break it down as, like, a cartoon character. And I thought it was adorable. I clicked on it, and I was like, Instagram.
Well, who doesn't like a kangaroo?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Who doesn't like a kangaroo?
Who doesn't love a furry creature that tells you what to do?
I know. You know. And they're so cute.
Pick them after yourself. Yeah. You're right on. So we got 3 minutes left. Any shout outs you want to give? Any other news in the community that you want to present? Anybody you want to uplift? Anything?
Just
you got else?
I want to say I'm super angry about yesterday.
Yeah.
As we all are.
Yes.
Yeah, and as we all should be.
Just, yes.
It's like, it's like, no, this is not a vote for this, but you're voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just once again more about white privileged male feelings.
Yes.
Above the actual experience and damage and pain of people.
Of anyone else.
Once again, and they're like, yeah, we have the facts, y'all. We have the facts. It's not about liberal feelings. And I'm like, you know what? We're totally swayed by this guy having a hissy fit, and you think that he needs lifelong
right.
power now?
Right.
All right. You're, yeah, facts and reason.
I would have thought the way that he presented himself would have, like, discounted him completely.
Impartial people pointed that out. They're like, even if you don't believe Christine Blasey Ford, he's shown like he's partisan. Himself.
Please.
He's partisan. He's a baby.
His own colleagues, the college that he got his law degree from, all said this man should not be a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah. It was like over 100 like law professors. Like,
yeah, like petition. I mean, petitions, like, with over 650,000 people signed it. No, he should not be on the court.
The fact that they're pushing this through when he was, like, on a list of 20 candidates or something.
Right.
They just, like, picked one, and you're going to go with the extremely toxic one. To me, that says, like, this is a power
play.
Well,
and let's face it. What is it? It's something like, what is it? I think it's, like, 30% or something like that of the men on the Supreme Court right now have similar charges against them in their past.
Oh, yeah. Not
so it's not like they're not doing anything that they haven't already done. It's just that we now know.
I mean, the new thing is that there's a conversation about it. People believe them, and they still don't care.
Yeah. All right.
Art.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of in a nutshell of like our show. We talk about all this stuff.
And then art.
Sam, remind people of the show. It's the joint show of FUCC.
The Feminist Union of Charlottesville Creatives. You can check it out at City Space. That's on the downtown mall, 105th Street, something something.
Yeah.
It's the post office building. Check it out until the 28th.
Awesome. Right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
We'd like to thank Sam Gray for being on the show. We'd like to thank Charlottesville for being so artistic and giving us stuff to talk about all the time. And we'd like to thank America for taking 2 steps back so we can force it to take 2 steps forward.
And I need to say happy birthday to my uncle in North Carolina. Mm. Happy birthday, uncle. I love you. I'll call you later.
All right. Bye. Love to everybody. I love you, Leslie. I love you, Clinton. This has been Homegrown. See y'all next week.
Peace.
This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Again, we'd like to thank our guest, Sam Gray. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. This is Ships in the Night right now. Any complaints about Homegrown should be dedicated to or directed to our attorneys at the fine lisping law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Coming up next, it's the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. We'll be back next week, unless somebody kicks us off, which, you know, that might just happen. Be good to each other.
WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.